Well, within, I would say, about a year, a shift happened. You know, it used to be where clients would say, we want your ideas, here's our budget. And then a few years outside of COVID, it wasn't really that. They were leading with budget. They were leading with cheaper, faster, you know, quicker, all of those things. And I just felt like I can't work like this. Like, I can't operate like this. I can't turn out really good work for a client if that's what they're leading with all of the time. So I just realized, okay, I think there's something in my messaging that needs to change. So I changed as a designer, you know, not all in one day. It was really gradual, but my previous branding served me all of those years. But yeah, I definitely felt like organically it was time to change.
You're listening to Brand Lift with Tori Sikkema, where each week we demystify branding, marketing, and business to help you get seen, get published, and get booked by dream clients. I'm a beach-loving mom from the Jersey Shore who quit her full-time gig and picked up a camera. 6 months later, I was published in 6 different magazines for my interiors and branding photography, launching me down a path to booking clients who love me. Needless to say, I'm obsessed with all things branding, marketing, and design. Now I'm bringing my 20 years of marketing expertise and my passion for photography and design to help you get in front of your dream clients too. I'll talk about the real struggles of being an entrepreneur, creating a brand that people love, and how to set yourself apart and grow your business quickly. If you're a photographer, interior designer, architect, builder, or you just love all things design like me, grab a martini and get cozy as we gather to get real about your brand identity, numbers, marketing, and more so you get seen, get published, and get booked. Get ready to give your brand a facelift with Brand Lift. Welcome back to another insightful episode of Brand Lift. Today, we're diving deep into the world of interior design and branding. Have you ever wondered how design firms navigate the delicate balance between maintaining their core identity while also evolving to meet the changing demands of the industry? Well, today I have a special guest, Christina Kim, who is the founder and visionary behind Christina Kim Interior Design. She is joining us to share her expertise on making intentional brand shifts. So this episode, Shifting Gears, Christina Kim shares how her design firm is making an intentional brand shift. We'll explore the intricacies of strategic brand reshaping. Christina's insights will guide us through the process of evaluating a firm's identity, attracting a new clientele, and ultimately thriving in an ever-evolving industry landscape. But what makes a brand shift intentional? How do you ensure the transition aligns with the firm's legacy while embracing new growth opportunities? We're going to discuss that. So whether you're an aspiring designer looking to carve out your niche or a seasoned professional aiming to revitalize your brand, this episode is packed with valuable insights you will definitely want to take advantage of. So stay tuned as we embark on this journey with Christina Kim to unravel the secrets behind intentional brand shifts and discover how they can shape the future of your design firm. So let's go ahead and introduce Christina. I'm going to tell you a little bit about her first. She is the founder of Christina Kim Interior Design. Once an aspiring actress, her obsession with design and her innate curiosity led her to the world of interiors. Based in Manasquan, New Jersey, Christina has interior design projects across the U.S. Christina's work is influenced by scenes from L.A., New York City, and Paris, all places she's lived, which we'll definitely talk about. Bringing both West Coast sensibility and an East Coast vibe to her designs, Christina is known for her warm yet modern interiors with a distinctive edge and specializes in the ground-up construction of modern homes. Some noteworthy achievements include serving as an ambassador for the New York Design Center and her participation in the Kips Bay Decorator Show House in Dallas, where her captivating ombre pink stairway design made a memorable entrance moment. Welcome, Christina. I'm so glad that you could be here today.
Thanks for having me, Tori. I'm excited for our talk.
Well, with that captivating introduction, it's clear that we're going to have a lot to talk about. And thank you so much for joining me today. And I want to dive right in. I'm excited that you're here. And Manasquan is where I grew up. We're both Monmouth County girls.
That's right.
So,
MoCo.
Yeah, it definitely feels like home. So let's dive right in. To set the stage, could you help us understand the current landscape of the design industry? What are some of the challenges that you see interior designers facing in today's rapidly changing landscape?
There's a lot. There's a lot to unpack. I mean, it's loud out there right now. I mean, there's all this technological pressure. They're like, AI. There's also, obviously, we've been talking about the changes in the economy for a while now. And it's sort of this cloud that's looming over us, making people a little more hesitant and changing client behaviors. So that's definitely, you know, something to navigate. And then the clients' behaviors themselves. Post-pandemic, we had that massive shutdown and slowdown. And now I just feel like clients are pushing the fast forward button. And as we all know, design cannot be fast forwarded. It's not fast process. So that, yeah, I mean, those are the major challenges that I see in the current design landscape, a lot to deal with.
No, it's so funny. You mentioned AI, and that could be a whole, like, we could totally go down that rabbit hole too. But I know it really is so much about what these AI prompts, what people think could be design. It's just unrealistic because you're giving a computer a prompt. And like, I saw this one ceiling that was all curved, and no architect in the world could ever replicate that. But someone's like, I don't know, maybe they were on something when they were dreaming up the prompt for the ceiling. So it can get a little crazy, I agree. But that leads perfectly into our next point.
Yeah, it's making client expectations unreasonable.
Oh, 100%. And you know what? Even as a photographer, I have that challenge with a lot of the imagery that I'm starting to see on Instagram, where someone who posts it doesn't even know it's AI or isn't disclosing that it's AI. And that can be so unrealistic for the viewer, for the designer, and for the client, because it's not reality.
It's wild times out there. It really does feel like the wild, wild west.
That perfectly leads us to our next point. Recognizing the need for change is often the first step towards growth. Can you walk us through your journey of realizing it was time to elevate your firm and transform your brand?
Well, within, I would say, about a year, a shift happened. You know, it used to be where clients would say, we want your ideas, here's our budget. And then a few years outside of COVID, it wasn't really that. They were leading with budget. They were leading with cheaper, faster, you know, quicker, all of those things. And I just felt like I can't work like this. Like I can't operate like this. I can't turn out really good work for a client if that's what they're leading with all of the time. So I just realized, okay, I think there's something in my messaging that needs to change. So I changed as a designer, you know, not all in one day. It was really gradual, but my previous branding served me all of those years. But yeah, I definitely felt like organically it was time to change.
Yeah. Well, in the introduction, we talked about your ombre pink moment at the Dallas Kips Bay Show House. And that was a wow moment. And I truly felt like it was introducing a part of your personality, maybe that we hadn't seen before. How did that project kind of reshape or start reshaping your thought process of your brand?
Well, because, you know, when you're doing a show house, and certainly when you're doing Kips Bay, it's like all the barriers are gone. There's no client, there's no board of people that you're looking to please. It's just pure creativity. So that was what I wanted to do in that moment. But, you know, just a minute ago when I was talking about saying loudly and proudly who you really are, I'm so often asked to do a white house and a white box. And I do, I love working in white. Don't get me wrong. I really love doing that. But I also wanted the opportunity to explore other facets of myself and my firm as a designer. We love color here. It's not just me. And it doesn't have to be screaming color or pattern on pattern on pattern. It doesn't have to be that way. But to really explore how color makes you feel in a space that I started to notice I was having less and less opportunity to do that. And I wanted to figure out how I could create that for myself. And to also let my clients and maybe potential clients know that I am interested in this. I do want to explore color. I want to explore pattern and other things.
Yeah. And you know, so often too, color can come through in so many ways and art just comes to mind. I don't know. I just feel like infusing that modern aesthetic and artwork can be a big part of that as well. So I love that. That's really fascinating. So navigating the rebranding journey can be complex for sure and involve so many aspects. What essential steps did you take? And if other designers are interested in a rebranding, what steps should they think about and consider when making this intentional branding shift?
I think it's a few things, really. It's a lot of self-reflection and being honest with where you are in business and how you feel about it and if you're happy with things. Because if you are, then more of that, right? And if you want to make a shift, well, you have to take an action. So then it becomes about thinking about where you want to be, not just right now, like what your authentic brand is, what your authentic voice is as a designer, but what that's going to be in the future. Also, I mean, as a designer, you're a forecaster. You're paid to know what's coming and you have to do that for yourself. I think it's you have to evolve. You have to stay current. You have to look ahead. You have to be honest. It's so many things. It took me down a rabbit hole. I was like, okay, I'll get some new colors and a new logo. Oh my God. It was so much more than that. And then I think the next approach is really finding the right branding agency, find the right partner. People take such care and research and choosing their designer, like their interior designer. It's a little bit the same process to find your branding agency or your branding professional to help you through this journey. So it was really fascinating. So I think that is another thing that you really need to focus your research on. And then you have to think about, okay, when your branding's in place, like, what do you want to say? What are your goals? And how are you going to implement that without alienating your existing client base and what you've become known for? It's very tricky.
Yeah, especially in our area, which we are central New Jersey. We are by the shore. So that informs, I'm sure, a lot of your aesthetic. But I feel too, you know, and it's the same with me with photography. I'm branching out too and going down, traveling out of state. And I have clients in Boca. I have clients in Texas. But so that's interesting. It broadens your perspective. And so you have design projects not only in New Jersey, but New York and Paris and on the West Coast. And so I'm sure that that mix too really informs and expands that design palette that you yearn to kind of dig your hands into and create.
Definitely. I mean, like you can think about California and even the light is different in California, you know, so it's going to influence everything. People are different. They speak differently. They eat differently. I have access to different artisans where they are, different tools. So it definitely broadens what you have in your tool bag as a designer. And then you bring that to your next job, wherever that is, even if it's back in New Jersey. I mean, most of my work is here.
Well, the project that I recently saw, your Rumson project, the mid-century, and that is my dream. My dream is to live in a mid-century home.
Or a ranch house.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So I grew up in Freehold in a ranch. and I wish I could like cut away to the picture. Maybe I'll find it. But I grew up in a ranch, and there was something about the closeness to the family. It wasn't these, like the house I'm living in now has three levels. It's quite large. And my kiddos are out of the nest in college in varying parts of the country and in their starting out their lives. And I just feel I'm very much drawn back to my roots growing up in a ranch. And every architect, every builder that I come across, I'm like, find me a ranch. Let's reimagine it. And I know there's a lot of these in Rumson. So I absolutely fell in love with your project in Rumson. Cheers. It's beautiful.
I actually also grew up in a ranch. So I jumped at the chance. I was obsessed.
Did you have that same draw back to your growing up roots in a ranch?
Yeah. I mean, it definitely, there was something so familiar and so nice about it. And even though it wasn't a small house by any means, it definitely felt human scale. It was really nice to work in.
Yeah, that's amazing. I love that. Well, those are great insights into just the branding shift, and implementing changes can be daunting, right? You go through this whole brand change and logo, and especially when it involves reshaping your firm's identity. So what practical tips can you offer through your process to other designers looking to communicate their brand identity effectively and through their firm?
I think the first step is really taking stock of who you are as a designer in this moment and how far we've all come from when we first opened our businesses, right? But I think it's, like I said, it's really looking to who you are now, what you like about your business now, what you'd like to see more of, what you'd like to see less of. And then you run it through that filter. You really, like, for me, I just ended up in a rabbit hole of branding researching. I think a huge part of that is finding the right branding agency. So for me, that was the Beaux Arts. And Susanna, she was amazing. I definitely felt aligned with her right away. And I felt like she got me right away because her process is so similar to how my process is with my clients. And it's very personal. She asks questions that are like, oh my God, who am I? I don't know. So she looks at your brand from, forces you to look at your brand from a micro level. And I think it's also for me, because you can get really bogged down by all of that. But for me, it was asking myself, if there were no barriers and if I wasn't afraid of anything, what would I want to put out there? And that's what I started with. So, I mean, if you look at my new branding, there's like a deep garnet red color as a base and it's bold. But one of the first things that so many clients say to me as soon as they walk in the door is, I hate red. And I'm like, the whole category, like all of it. And I just felt like, you know, I love red. Funny. I love red. I love all colors. I mean, it depends on where and when and how you use them.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So this is a perfect lead into this next question. So you had this brand shift and you infuse these bold garnet red colors, then your clients walk in. So do you have any tips, or how did you handle this in managing your client interactions after this rebranding, after this process? So, right, this client walks in and you're living your bold garnet red life, and they're like, I hate red. Like, how did you manage that? How did you like turn that into a conversation?
Well, I was curious. It was really unexpected, the reaction, because I did share the process a little bit on social media. Like, I didn't want to be like, Monday, I'm this, and Tuesday, look, I'm red. So I shared the process a little bit. And I had so many of my clients that I've worked on things years ago reach out. And maybe it was definitely not a red project, you know, completely different. They loved it. So many people reached out and said, this is so you, Christina. I definitely feel this for you. And I think authenticity is a big thing. Not just in interior design, not just the arts, just in general. I just think you are really rewarded that the more authentic you are to yourself. Like, not worrying so much about what everybody thinks. You have to start with putting your actual self out there so that they know who you are, what you like, and what your values are. It's easy to, I think, as designers, want to appeal to a lot of people, but I just think it's hard to really stand out. It's hard to stand out and really have somebody be able to identify you as being the designer for them. How could they if they don't know who you are?
Exactly. And it's interesting because you and I have crossed paths just randomly. So we've seen each other at holiday, you know, charity functions. We've run into each other at Kips Bay in the city. We have crossed paths at networking events like in Asbury Park at the fabulous Saint Laurent. But I think with each of those interactions, and not planned either, you get a sense for who people are, and that authenticity really just shines through, right? There's nowhere to hide. You're there and you're showing up as yourself. And I think either there is a connection made, right? There's an aligning of values, or there isn't. And I think you have to be okay with that.
Yeah, I think your branding is definitely not about appealing to everyone. It's about appealing to the people who are supposed to work with you. Like, you guys are supposed to find each other, you know? And I think the more specific your branding is, I think it's easier for them to be able to then find you. Not everybody hates red. They're going to find me, right?
No, I think red is great. And actually, my girlfriend, I'm not wearing red on my lips, but she is incredibly like gifted person in business. And she does a lot of Zoom meetings. And she says red is the best color lipstick to wear on Zoom meetings. So see, everybody should love red. A little bit of red is good for everybody.
I feel like a little bit of red in every room, just somewhere.
Yeah. I love it. A little pop. Well, that is excellent advice. And visual elements playing a significant role, obviously, in the brand identity process. I'm sure there are strategies that your branding company used and recommends for designers to ensure that there is consistency in the visual branding across all platforms of your business and with the relaunch. Can you share a little bit about that and what that process was like?
Yeah, I mean, once we went into final approvals of, you know, what everything was going to look like, the specific colors we chose, I was given very, very specific set of brand guidelines and how to apply those colors and what typography to use. Like, it was very, very specific. So I needed that. It took the guesswork out of things for me, but it does have to be consistent. It's hard because branding is definitely a process. So, you know, you can start with your logo and you can start with your colors and that sort of brand identity, but you're moving then into your social, into your website. But not only that, it's then every touch point that you have with your client. So what your proposals look like, how your emails are crafted, how you are in a meeting with your client, how you conduct yourself. I mean, it trickles really down into everything that you do, how you show up for things, how prepared are you, and how does your branding look across every single platform? It is a lot.
Right, exactly. Consistency breeds consistency. And so that visual aspect across all platforms, and even in your inter-office communications and what goes out to clients, I'm sure needs to be consistent all the way through. So then the next step to that is you have that visual piece across all platforms, the messaging. So let's talk about the messaging and how did this happen with you to convey that new brand identity through messaging, both verbally and in your written communications, whether it's a post or a blog or an email? Is there something that consistently weaves through each of those messaging touch points with clients?
Because I very much wanted a bespoke design for my own branding, a custom approach, just like my custom approach to interior design. You're never going to get an email from us that doesn't seem personal. It became much more about slowing down and more personal interactions, more customized approach to interior design. I wanted it to feel very artful. So if you look at our logo, like, I'm hoping that's what comes across, because in the past, and it served us really well, like, art came at the end with accessorizing. I was hoping there was an art budget, and that really came at the end. And now I want to start with art. So it changed our process, to be quite honest. You know, we have to give ourselves more time to do a design project, because the more custom the approach, not only our approach, but maybe custom fabric, or, you know, us going out and looking for the perfect piece of art, like, that all takes time. So I did find myself, I mentioned, you know, a year ago, I felt like things really changed and I could see it's time to rebrand. Part of that was, it was this faster. And I started to feel less like a creative and more like a facilitator to my clients. So now I'm using branding as a tool to go back to being the creative. I don't want to be a facilitator.
Ooh, okay. So I'm going to reframe that exactly what you said, because in the beginning, we talked about AI and we talked about this suspended reality that people have about design and photography and what it is, what it should be, and expectations, right, are built around all of that. So you are breaking barriers here because you are going in the opposite direction, no templating, right? So it's not that email template of the introduction of the process of, you know, how you work, and now it's time for this meeting, and then second step is this, and then third step is this. You're coming at it in a much more organic, thoughtful, artful way. And I think that speaks volumes, because it's exactly the opposite of what people are, right? They're expecting that something is going to sound much more manufactured because of ChatGPT, because of Google Gemini. And you're just breaking all those rules, which I love. That's great.
Thank you. I guess it's my own weird way of rebelling. You know, I did feel like pressure. When you do a project like a beach house, there is a hard timeline on you. That, I mean, there's always timelines, there's always deadlines in design, but I think something that's super seasonal like that, it's just even more stepped up. So time becomes such a big thing. And, you know, you really can't turn out your best design, you know, someone cracking a whip like faster. So I want to get ahead of it. And to make it be part of my messaging, it's going to take time. It's worth it. It's artful. It's customized to you. It's bespoke. The design's not in a drawer that I can pull out and here you go.
Yeah. Well, like, the family, Memorial Day is coming. The family wants to move in, right? The family wants to be down the shore. So I love that you have that guide, that compass that is steering your whole process to say, let's slow down. You're going to get my best work product, but we have to go at a different pace. We can't all navigate the waters in a cigarette boat or whatever they're called, in a high speed chase. Let's go yachting.
Let's enjoy go to St. This. Barts.
Yeah. Let's go to St. Barts on a nice, luxurious yacht.
Yeah, let's go on a trip together. You know, there's always going to be that. I think that you have to be very pragmatic in order to get your design into the real world in a timely fashion. And I get that. That is definitely one of our responsibilities. But I don't want to lead with that. I don't want my speed to, like, I that's not what I'm pushing here. I'm pushing the design, our creativity.
Yeah, no, love it. And that is really the recipe for a long-term branding strategy, right? Is the benefits and future opportunities are in the long-term strategy. So here's another question about what can designers expect in terms of refined aesthetics, increased visibility, and overall growth with a rebranding? So you're rebranding, you're communicating something that's counterculture, which I love. We're slowing down, we're being intentional, we're giving that bespoke experience, leading with that artful style. And so long-term benefits and future opportunities, what can designers expect in terms of those refined aesthetics, increased visibility, and overall growth in a strategy like that?
It goes back to what I was saying before. I think you really are rewarded for being authentic. And by that, I mean the right people can find you, the right clients. I mean, if you're very, very specific, I think, in your branding and your messaging and what you're putting out there, I think then a client not only notices you, but they think, that is the only designer for me. That's the goal. In addition to that, I think that even peer recognition or within the industry press, I think the more specific you are and the more authentic you are to yourself and, you know, the less you're trend chasing, the more you have an authentic voice within the industry and people will want to be closer to that. I think you get more opportunities that way.
So that's perfect. You mentioned press, and I'm going to jump all over that because we are in a digital age and your online presence is paramount. So what strategies, and this might be along with your PR strategy, do you recommend for designers to enhance that online presence during and after a rebrand?
Well, I think photography, as you know, is everything. If you're not representing your work correctly, how you want people to see you, then I think it's very difficult. So now I've done photo shoots for years and I felt like we know how to do this. And now it sort of feels a little bit like, not that I'm reinventing the wheel, but I have to think about things differently. I want to think more about storytelling. Like, what am I trying to say here with these photos? Styling for sure has changed. It is a big lift, but it is worth it. And I think you can say a lot through the styling. I think you could say a lot through art. But when you're thinking about a rebrand and creating a new website, I mean, you kind of have to back up a little bit and think, okay, I have all these new projects to shoot. Those also have to be in line with my new branding. And so it's something that we're really thinking about, styling, what story we want those photos to tell.
No, it's really important because you have one opportunity and photo shoots are involved and a lot goes into them and a lot of prep work with the styling, particularly to tell that story and to convey not only the aesthetic of your brand, but also inviting people into that new world. And you do that through visual storytelling, which is the photography. There are no words in photography. And so I just had a photo shoot. It was a more architectural, so more commercial. And I said, okay, I need to understand the client experience. So walk me through the client experience or walk me through the process. And that story and that pre-work that we do helps me create my shot list so that I'm the narrator. I'm creating the whole narration and visuals of this epic story that is your design project without words and translating that to a feeling that people on the other end are going to connect with somehow. And there was this great story that one of the editors of Architectural Digest shared with me, and Nancy Myers, I'm sure you know and love her just as much as I do.
I love Nancy Myers.
Love, love, love. Well, for her and for her photo shoot, it was all about authenticity. So she's out, and for her portraits, her environmental portraits, she was out with a leaf blower, blowing leaves in the backyard. And then she was up on a ladder clipping hedges. And to me, that says it all. Like, I want to work with people who are willing to go there, like authentically go there. And it sounds like that resonates with you as well, that it's here, you know, this design project that has taken months, if not years, to get to install day, and then we're at photo shoot day, and we're not going to leave anything to chance. Like, this is the culmination, this is the crescendo of all
2 years. Yes.
Of 2 years.
Of 2 years, sometimes 3 years.
Absolutely.
So it's definitely about crafting a story and really showing your point of view as a designer in those photos. So that collaboration between designer and photographer and stylist, like, it's so important.
It really is important. And I don't know that we could have, like, come to the end of this conversation in a more organic and thoughtful way. And so what I would love to do, Christina, I've enjoyed this opportunity to get to know you a little bit better. I know we've seen each other in passing, but to really see how our values align. And we both grew up in ranch houses and we both live in Monmouth County. It's really nice when your paths cross so organically like that. And so I thank you for that. And I thank you for your time here today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. But that's not all. We want people to connect with you. So Christina, can you tell us all the places where we can find and connect with you and hire you?
And Instagram, I'm at C Kim Interior Design, and then ChristinaKimInteriorDesign.com. It's really easy to find me.
Wonderful. Well, I appreciate you and I appreciate your time. I can't wait for this to go live. I'll work in the post process to get that done really quickly. And so thank you again, Christina.
Thanks, Tori.
Oh, you're welcome. And with that, we've reached the end of another enlightening episode of BrandLift Podcast. Each week, we strive to demystify branding, marketing, and business to empower you to get seen, get published, and get booked by your dream clients. As we wrap up today's discussion with Christina Kim, I encourage you to take action on at least one insight or strategy that you've learned today. Whether refining your brand messaging, enhancing your online presence, or niching down on your design aesthetic, choose one thing to implement into your business. And here's the challenge. I want to hear about it. So once you've taken the action, share your progress, share your successes, share your challenges with us. Your actions can inspire others to take leaps and make positive changes in their businesses too. Remember, transformation begins with action. So let's take that first step together and create meaningful change in our brands and businesses. Thank you again for tuning into BrandLift. And until next time, keep lifting your brand higher. You just finished another episode of BrandLift, where we talked all things branding, marketing, and design. Make sure you rate and subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. To continue the conversation, head on over to my Instagram at Tori Sikkema Photography. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this episode. For show notes and any links to this episode and to snag your step-by-step guide on how to get published, head on over to ToriSikkemaPhotos.com and get started on your path of getting seen and getting published. See you next week on BrandLift.